It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
When politicians talk about immigration reform, they usually mean the following: amnesty, open borders, lower wages. Immigration reform should mean something else entirely. It should mean improvements to our laws and policies to make life better for American citizens. Thank you. But if we're going to make our immigration system work, then we have to be prepared to talk honestly and without fear about these important and very sensitive issues. For instance, we have to listen to the concerns that working people, our forgotten working people, have over the record pace of immigration and its impact on their jobs, wages, housing, schools, tax bills, and general living conditions. These are valid concerns expressed by decent and patriotic citizens from all backgrounds, all over. We also have to be honest about the fact that not everyone who seeks to join our country will be able to successfully assimilate. Sometimes it's just not going to work out. It's our right as a sovereign nation to choose immigrants that we think are the likeliest to thrive and flourish and love us.
All right, that was Donald Trump last night in his speech in Phoenix on immigration. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. Joining you now, it was a very, very big day because earlier in the day, Donald Trump met with the president of Mexico. Remember the fights he's had with verbal fights, that the leadership of Mexico, the last president, more so than the Vicente Fox with the current one, Enrique Peña Nieto, and I might not be pronouncing that correctly, so forgive me because I'm not sure. But he was invited. Trump was invited by the president of Mexico to come down, and he went. And so they had quite a discussion. Nieto, I think is what it is. After he left, he said some very gracious things. He said we had a good conversation, although Nieto says, you know, there's no way we're paying for the wall. And Donald Trump is saying, yes, Mexico will pay for the wall. So I think the reasoning of the Trump camp is that there are other ways that Mexico will pay for the wall besides the president is not going to authorize their Congress to write out a check. It's going to be the difference in the cost to American people. The savings could very likely go and build that wall. There's so much money going down to Mexico to relatives and families, payments that are that we don't even know about. Some are legitimate, I'm sure, but many of it, a lot of it, not legitimate at all. I've heard stats about that before. It's just amazing how many people come and work for a time here and then go back to Mexico and draw Social Security and other kinds of benefits. And so that could be the source of a lot of that money. So that's what happened last night. And then Donald Trump crossed the border and spoke in Arizona. You heard the audience. It's funny to me, that John McCain just won the primary there on Tuesday. John McCain, who, you know, is so offended by Donald Trump's statements about vetting Muslims and his calling out of Mr. Khan at the Republican convention, Donald Trump's defending himself against Khan's attacks. And the whole notion that Khan, you know, is not exactly a reputable character. He is an adherent of Sharia, which means he does not, in spite of him waving the Constitution at that convention, he is not an adherent of the United States Constitution. But you don't dare say that because then you're Islamophobic. So that's John McCain's position in his infinite wisdom. But he still won. The people of Arizona still voted him in. So Donald Trump is in Arizona. And this is what he says next about are we going to then deport the millions of illegal immigrants who are here? What are we going to do and how are we going to decide? And this is what he had to say.
Another reform involves new screening tests for all applicants that include, and this is so important, especially if you get the right people, and we will get the right people, an ideological certification to make sure that those we are admitting to our country share our values and love our people. Thank you. We're very proud of our country, aren't we? Really? With all it's going through, we're very proud of our country. For instance, in the last 5 years, we've admitted nearly 100,000 immigrants from Iraq and Afghanistan. In these two countries, according to Pew Research, a majority of residents say that the barbaric practice of honor killings against women are often or sometimes justified. That's what they say. That's what they say. They're justified, right? And we're admitting them to our country. Applicants will be asked for their views about honor killings, about respect for women and gays and minorities, attitudes on radical Islam, which our president refuses to say, and many other topics as part of this vetting procedure. And if we have the right people doing it, believe me, very, very few will slip through the cracks. Hopefully none.
All right, so that's the second part. Of course, he said many more things. But on background, there was a story that I didn't get to yesterday, published by the Washington Times. We are learning that the IRS has failed to tell us that 1 million American taxpayers have had their Social Security information stolen by illegal immigrants living here in this country. 1 million, at least 1 million taxpayers have had their most private information stolen, and the IRS has not notified any of us. So there are serious problems. What rational person does not think we have a serious problem with out-of-control immigration? We haven't even talked about the border. Trump doubled down on this whole notion of an impenetrable physical wall. He talks about a virtual wall in some areas, some other method of making the wall secure where it's not possible to build a wall, but he plans to do that. He's going to end what's called the catch and release, which now the Obama administration practices where, they catch them, but then they release them and they tell them to show up for court, you know, in 60 days. Yeah, come back to court. That's not working very well. I know that's a shock, but it's not working very well. And of course, when they catch and release them, they are assigned an attorney. They get money. They get safe travel someplace. It's just amazing. In some cases, they get smartphones. So that's going to end. That's what Donald Trump is saying. That's going to end. And of course, that's so appalling to so many people, right? On the left, it's just, you know, that's just so mean, isn't it? It's just mean to, you know, actually protect your borders. I want to go back to remember Donald Trump's initial statement that in which from this statement, the Mexican Spanish media in this country, fueled by the left, the CNNs, the ABCs have created this firestorm of hatred from the Hispanic population toward Donald Trump, telling them that he hates them. He says terrible things about them. And I want to just kind of go back to the statement that he made and read it, which caused this spinning and creating this narrative. And just listen. He said, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems. And they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Now, out of that, they spun that he hates Hispanic people. And out of that, the Hispanic population in America has been whipped into a frenzy, being told that Donald Trump hates them. That is a perfectly rational statement. We have a huge problem here in Washington, D.C., of rapists along bike paths, in parks, many of them MS-13 gang members. We have a epidemic of MS-13 gang members that are killing and raping. So it's not the best of Mexico, I'm saying. I guess that's kind of right, don't you think? And I think it's true. They're not sending their best. And so it was out of that statement that all of this, and this is what happens. The left distorts, takes out of context, and creates a narrative out of something that really is not relevant. So the Washington Post this morning, their headline is, Mexicans are angry at their own president for meeting with Trump. Well, we'll see. Of course, they do a lot of interviews and people say the things that they say. But, I have to tell you, Mexico has some of the strictest immigration laws in the world. And if you try to buy property down there, forget it if you're not a citizen. I used to have a whole list of them. It's just amazing. If you want to look it up, I'm sure you can on the internet. But they have, the Mexicans are smart. They know. They protect their country. But we're not allowed to. Gee, that's just terrible. How shocking that we want to protect our citizens, protect our children and their future jobs. Protect our homes from invasion, protect people, ranchers who live on the border from having their property so abused, protect us from Islamists sneaking across the border, leaving their Korans in the bushes. That's just shocking that we'd want to do that, right? This is so controversial, right? You know, it's just mind-boggling, and it reminds me of the Peggy Noonan piece that I don't even think I had a chance to read, where she talked about how the elites have left their loyalty to their country in exchange for some benefit, it's cheap labor for their business, making a lot of money. Business people have fallen into this trap, even good business people. I've heard them. I've had discussions with them before this even ever got crucial. A decade ago, I was talking about I just couldn't imagine how open borders and free trade, as they kept touting it, like it was the Holy Grail, was going to help this country. And it has not helped this country. And I'm not saying I'm not for good trade, healthy trade policies. I am. I'm for big business. I'm for honest and faithful stewardship of good business. I'm not in favor of special deals because you know someone, of tax breaks because you have connections with government officials, which is where we're living now, getting benefits because you know the Clintons and you give to their foundation. I'm against that. That's not the kind of free trade and exchange of money and dollars and ideas that I'm talking about, or that our founding fathers, foresaw. You know, back in the early decades of this country, early centuries, I could say a couple centuries, the businessmen, the big businessmen were patriots, and they did things that were patriotic, and they made business decisions that actually were good for the country, not just good for them. But that boat has left the harbor. It's now international. All these corporations are thinking internationally, globally. To heck with America. And that's actually what Peggy Noonan wrote about. It was very eloquent. I recommend that article. We should find it and put it on our Facebook page so you can read it. So the other thing that Trump said, he's going to end sanctuary cities. I think there are some 300 cities and towns that ignore the law and give sanctuary even to illegal criminal immigrants. Thousands of them, as a matter of fact. And so I can't go into that right now, but Paul Bedard has an article on that from the Washington Examiner. Trump vows to end sanctuary cities. So that was part of the discussion last night, too. So that's what happened. And that's what happened yesterday with Donald Trump. The polls are showing that in a four-way race between Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, and I don't know, Mrs. Steins, I don't know her first name. They're only 2 points apart, meaning Trump and Clinton only 2 points apart. So that is a radical change. I think in a two-way race, they're still 6 points apart, according to the latest Fox News poll. So it's interesting, it's just very interesting. We'll see what happens. Mrs. Clinton, of course, had a different view yesterday. We'll play her clip when we come back, and so much more. By the way, I want to open the phone lines because tomorrow we have a very special show for you, and we won't be opening them. So let's talk today. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveoff.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. The Good Book has been removed from rooms at a hotel operated by Arizona State University. The cleansing took place after the Freedom From Religion Foundation complained. That's the group of perpetually offended atheist and agnostic wackadoodles from Wisconsin. Very unpleasant people. Anyway, a worker at the Thunderbird Inn got offended by the presence of a Gideon Bible on a nightstand. The atheist said the presence of the Bible in the room amounts to proselytizing, apparently under the impression that merely glancing at the Good Book causes a hotel guest to spontaneously convert. The Bibles are now safely out of public view behind the front counter. At least they weren't tossed in the garbage. So, all of you Bible-hating folks at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, y'all sleep tight now. Don't let the bedbugs bite. Well, maybe just a few. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
While the Clinton campaign told reporters that some, if not all, of the 30 Benghazi emails recovered by the FBI are duplicates and already posted online, the State Department has not reached the same conclusion.
We have not confirmed that either they are actually responsive to the Benghazi-related request or that they are duplicates of materials that we've already had. We're still working our way through that.
Hillary Clinton signed this statement under oath last August, telling a federal court that she handed over all her government records. But the 30 emails recovered by FBI forensic experts from Clinton's personal servers raised fresh doubt. Judicial Watch sued for the Benghazi documents.
They can put a man on the moon, but they can't release these 30 emails more quickly. It's absurd.
Fox News was told that some records come from the first week after the 2012 attack. The same week, then-Secretary Clinton was at Andrews Air Force Base, where the caskets of four Americans were flown home, and she publicly blamed an obscure video for their deaths. The State Department first got the email 6 weeks ago after the FBI criminal case closed, and Director James Comey confirmed thousands of new emails were recovered, emphasizing,
"We found no evidence that any of the additional work-related emails were intentionally deleted.
in an effort to conceal them in some way.
Clinton surrogates downplayed the likelihood there are new emails that will rekindle the Benghazi debate.
That's the same James Comey that Republicans like to quote about extreme carelessness. Well, they also have to listen to him when he says she was truthful in her interview with the FBI and she didn't intentionally withhold any documents.
State Department lawyers asked D.C. federal court judge Ahmed Mehta for a September 30th deadline, but the judge, an Obama administration appointee, ordered an update next week.
These are Obama judges who are looking at Secretary Clinton and her team and saying, you need to provide answers and you need to do it on the timetable that the court wants, not whatever timetable suits you or the election calendar.
Well, it's complicated. Sandy Rios back with you. That's Catherine Herridge's report on Fox last night, a special report. There are lots of things going on. There are a lot of media outlets and a lot of individuals and organizations, you know, subpoenaing these email. And so it's hard to keep track sometimes of who's asking for what. I would say that Julian Assange, who of WikiLeaks, made a statement, I think, yesterday. It's reported in the Washington Times. He accused the American liberal press of erecting a demon by shielding Hillary Clinton from criticism. WikiLeaks, he says, was responsible for releasing 20,000 email, almost, from seven accounts belonging to DNC staffers in July. This is the one thing I was trying to talk about a little bit yesterday when this whole thing about accusing Russia of being behind all this hacking, sort of inferring that they're responsible for all of this, is not accurate. And I do think that they're laying the groundwork to connect Donald Trump with Russia. And if he should win the election, I think they're going to claim it was a Russian hack and nullify the election. I think they'll federalize it. That's really what I think. I realize that's an extreme statement. I know. But I'm telling you, I think that's what's in the works, because I do not believe for a second that the left, who have made so many gains in this last few years, they're just about to take the whole thing. There is no way they're going to lay down and do nothing if they think Donald Trump might win this election. So Assange also says that he has the most explosive material yet on Mrs. Clinton that he's going to release before the November 8th election. I heard from another source yesterday, a high-level source, that next week there will be some very damning things released about Mrs. Clinton. But, you know, the thing of it is, she still has the election nearly sewn up in the Electoral College. She just does. Remember in the Democratic Convention, they kept saying, you know, she thought ahead. She had superdelegates. They had a superdelegate system to ensure that no matter what Bernie Sanders did, Mrs. Clinton would prevail. So think the same, but different. All right. So many things. I think I'm going to go to the phones, and then I'll come back to some email. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Dennis in Texas. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Dennis, turn your radio off if you don't mind, because it kind of messes you up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
How's that?
That's great.
Sandy, you know, I'm definitely not a Clinton fan, and I'm definitely not a Trump fan, but I do realize that we need him in office. And my thing is, I'm a veteran. I'm a retired Marine veteran. And I just know that if Donald Trump, I mean, he's missing the biggest bucket of voters out there, the veterans. All he has to do is fix the Veterans Administration by promising every veteran that's ever served in these for the United States a card where they can go to any hospital or any doctor of their choice.
Listen.
Close down the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, you know what, Dennis? I'm with you on that. Why in the world create a whole separate system for veterans? Why do that? Especially when they're failing our veterans left and right. I am totally with you. I think that's a great suggestion. Anything else?
No. It's just that I've been trying to actually contact somebody in his campaign party to actually maybe pass that idea on to him, but it is almost impossible to contact anyone.
Well, you know what? It's because he doesn't have a great ground game. You know, he's not a career politician. It was Cruz who had, in the Republican side, this fabulous ground game. Kasich had it in Ohio. And Donald Trump doesn't have a good on-the-ground game. That's why you're having trouble. But, Dennis, I might be able to pass that along for you because I know people. And so I think that's a great suggestion. Thank you. Are you healthy? Are you healthy, Dennis? Are you just concerned about your fellow dudes that are being in the hospital?
Thank God I am healthy, but I am concerned about my veteran brothers. I mean, you know, we serve this country and take a chance in losing your life going over there to protect the freedoms that we have. And the left is trying to take away everything that we fought for to protect and died. And it's just ridiculous. And I do believe that every veteran serving or have ever served will vote for him just on that one issue.
All right, Dennis. I think that's a great suggestion. And honestly, I do know some people, so I will pass that along. So thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Okay, God bless you. All right, let's go to, and I mean that. Sometimes you say that in passing, but I'm that's not a passing phrase for me. God bless you, Dennis, and each and every one of you who are listening. Okay, let's go to Michael in North Carolina. Good morning, Michael.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to mention the fact that I, you know, ask people about who they're going to vote for, and I do it on purpose and try to get a little bit of opinion. And most of them, you know, do not like Donald Trump. Will say, you know, I don't like Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for Hillary, but I'm not going to vote. And I bring up the fact that, well, look who he picked for vice president. I said the man picked somebody that, you know, he says in case he does not get to pull office or dies or something, this guy's going to take his place and run the country the way he is looking at the country should be run. And it really makes them think a minute. Then most of them like Mike Pence. I think it needs to be brought up that this is the man that he picked because this is the way Donald Trump is thinking, very similar to the way Mike Pence has run, you know, the country and has lived his life. And really, they go, when I get through talking to them, most of them say, yeah, you're right about that.
You know, Michael, I have to say that it's amazing to me. The people that Donald Trump is surrounding himself with are really fine people. Now, I'm not saying every single one of them, but he has got tons, and he's adding more and more all the time, people that I actually know who are really good patriots and in many cases are strong Christians, not all of them, but Mike Pence certainly is that. So I'm with you. I think that's part of the equation that people have to consider, Michael, especially when you consider what we're facing. So
Donald
thanks.
Also, he brings out the best in people when he gets around them. I mean, you know, he's. I've always said that, you know, a really bad boss will make good people bad that work for him, but a good boss will turn somebody really good into somebody.
I think
that
you're right.
May not be the best.
No, I think you're right. I think you're. And they surround themselves with strong people. Good, great leaders surround themselves with great people. It makes them better. So, Michael, thanks. Good observation. And in fact, let me depart for a second and go to an email. This is from Michael. Michael says he's not a Christian, but he's a never Trumper because of the moral issues in Trump's life, and he itemizes all of those, which I could easily do. And could I hasten to say, of course, there's no question that as a follower of Christ, there are things in Trump's life, there are things he's doing, probably things he supports, his businesses, and probably things he will do and say that will make strong, serious Christians cringe. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, though, that our choices are clear in this election, and they are what they are. I've heard people challenge, you know, how can people give Donald Trump a pass over his moral life, his, you know, marriages and whatever, you fill in the blanks, and then be so hard on Bill Clinton? And I guess that's a very good question. And I think the answer lies in the fact that with Bill Clinton, it wasn't just his behavior. It was his public policy. His private behavior was appalling, but his public policy was also appalling. You know, this is the guy that supported partial birth abortion. This is a man that supported gay rights when it was really very, nobody was doing that. He advanced it tremendously while he was in office, the banning of gays in the military. These were the reasons, it was the things he did in public office combined with his personal life that made it, you know, a bridge too far. And I think, you know, the argument could be made that with Donald Trump, there are a lot of flaws. You know, he's a very big sinner. He's a very big personality with a lot of very big sins, no question about it. But he supports some really good policies. And at this point in time, you know, when I think about some of the things that Hillary Clinton advances, It's it's not just the advancement of abortion and gay rights. It's also the intention to force all of us to bow the knee to that view. She said, and I wish I will have to pull this clip and have it handy to play repeatedly. She said that deeply held religious beliefs will have to be changed on the issue of abortion, and I'm sure on gay rights too. So you're going to have to change your deeply held beliefs, and there will be litmus test for your ability to, I think, get jobs, get loans, access to college. We're going to move to such a position that there will be, you have to have right thinking. We're already getting into that. But your children will have to have right thinking too. In public schools, you're already seeing this. If they don't think the right things about these things, you know what? Just too bad. They'll be shut out. Ask anyone from Soviet Russia or from communist China, any of these countries, you can't think. You have to believe. You have to embrace with your mouth and bow to the knee to the public positions of the government. And you don't have, you could say to yourself, well, privately, I disagree. That's what a lot of politicians do. Well, you know that's nonsense. You know that words matter. You know that the saints died over words. You know, just deny Christ and you can live. You know, don't defend the Bible. Martin Luther, just deny what you've said and we won't kill you. The words matter to God. They matter a great deal. And so we will, if we really hold these deeply held religious beliefs, trust me, there will be hell to pay. Not for us, not the real hell. I'm afraid there'll be hell to pay for those that enforce these rules. But also, the punishment, I think, for those of us that are nonconforming on these positions will be punishment in healthcare, withholding services, not being able to see a doctor. It'll be your savings accounts that will be, subject to all kinds of, I think they'll find ways to get the savings of the middle-class American people. Scholarships will be withheld from your children if they don't have right thinking, college admissions. Jobs will be hard to get and keep. The IRS, we already know, have not changed. They're still stalking conservatives. And trust me, if the election goes Mrs. Clinton's way, they will be after so many of us. I can't even tell you, our organizations, our churches. It will be an all-out war to reduce and hobble and cripple and make people bow the knee to these to conforming to the views of the left. So, and there will be no criticism of Islam. Mrs. Clinton is part of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, embracing the UN resolution, which says that criticizing the prophet will be an international crime. And she has said, and I quote, "We will use the old-fashioned methods in the West of peer pressure and shaming because we have a First Amendment here." So as long as we have that inconvenient First Amendment, she said, the old-fashioned methods of peer pressure and shaming. So you will not even be able to say anything bad about Islam for fear of punishment. So add that to the list, too. And so I could go on and on, but I'm just telling you, that's a response, a very long response to Michael, who wrote a long treatise, and I don't, that's good. He talks about Trump's flaws, and there are many of them. And he says, "I'm a never-Trumper." He said, unless he publicly and privately apologizes to Ted Cruz, I can't support him. Well, I understand that, and actually, I think that's important, too. I'm on your side about that. I think that Donald Trump needs to apologize to Ted Cruz in order to get the legitimate support of Ted Cruz's, in order to get the enthusiastic support, I should say, of Cruz supporters in the primary. All right, let me try to see if I can get to Christine in North Carolina before the break here. Hi, Christine. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Uh-oh, you know what, Christine? Listen to that music. Can you hold on for a second?
I sure can.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll be back in a second. We'll put you up first when we come back. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wits' end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we share with American Family Radio. We share a common goal, to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Central on AFR Talk for help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump delivered yesterday what may prove to be the defining speech of this presidential race. In it, he offered a stark choice on immigration, continued criminality and violence, or security-minded policies designed to restore the rule of law. The Republican candidate presented a 10-point plan of practical steps rooted in a few common-sense principles, including secure the border, deport criminal aliens, no more sanctuary cities, stop importing jihadists by admitting only foreign immigrants who share our values and love our people. Such propositions give new meaning to the term America First and seem sure to appeal to most citizens and legal immigrants who share a commitment to this country and alarm about its fundamental transformation thanks to Team Obama's destructive immigration policies. I don't envy Hillary Clinton, who's implicated in those policies and must explain why she'd perpetuate them. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
While you listen to that in the background, I want to tell you what that is. That's an event that happened in Switzerland in June. And this was a ceremony to celebrate the opening of this grand tunnel that they built through the mountains. Listen to it for a second. All right, so present at that ceremony was German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President François Hollande, and Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi. It featured the most bizarre, words fail me, dancers, sort of, who take off their clothes, simulate some sort of sexual acts, creatures dressed in horns with fur, and then it progresses to this big screen where Satan himself appears. Then these, like, bride-like ghost apparitions rise up, and then you have men dressed like beasts with horns simulating sex with some of the women. Let's see. Yeah, you hear? Listen to this. All right. It is unbelievable. It happened in June. I was not here with you, and I've been meaning to mention this. Because I want you to see this. I don't think that there's any way we can even comprehend the evil that is behind some of the movements worldwide that we are facing. Honestly, I think those of us that are followers of Jesus know about the whole dark spiritual underbelly, but maybe in some ways we can't even imagine. But for these world leaders to sit through this, they sat through it. It was horrendous. I watched a great deal of it, and actually we're going to put two videos on our Facebook page because I want you to see it. Will you promise me that you will look at these videos? Because I want you to understand how degraded we have become, and certainly Europe has become. And I was thinking, you know, Europe is not only post-Christian. You don't just reject God and stay in one place. You move one way or the other. And the degradation and animalistic paganism, just androgynous, sick stuff you see in this production while the world leaders look on in celebration of the opening of a tunnel is just amazing to me. You know, when you think about Western civilization, which birthed itself in Europe, which at its center was Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, birthed the Messiah and all the great music of the Western world, and those countries, Italy, you know, Switzerland, Germany, have such great music and great rich heritages to celebrate and use in some sort of a ceremony, and they choose to use this pagan, barbaric, satanic, that's what they chose, and I hope that you go online and look at it, just because be aware that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that we cannot see. And I think this video brings it home as clearly as anything I know about. All right, let me go back to the phone lines. And we were talking to Christine in North Carolina. Good morning again, Christine.
Good morning, Sandy.
All right, so what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? We are an active duty Marine Corps family. I'm not the member, my husband is. But there are all of the military members that we know are really standing behind Trump. I'm surprised the poll numbers are not higher. I'm surprised the candidates have not visited some of the larger bases in the United States. And ultimately, I would like to see the end of the military being used for social experiments such as transgender issues and that sort of thing, because it has brought a huge amount of stress to the military community, and we're already under enough. So I would like to see that change.
Boy, Christine, you are so, of course, you're right. And you know I agree with you. You hear me talk about it enough. But I, you know what, the one thing I really don't know, though, can politicians come on bases and do rallies? They can't do that, can they?
President Bush Jr. came on to Camp Pendleton when we were stationed in California.
When he was running for office?
No.
Yeah,
no, he was already in office.
Yeah, see, I don't think they would be allowed to come and do a political rally on a base, but maybe nearby and advertise to the base. That's a great idea, Christine. Yeah.
President Bush really took care of us too, as far as pay raises went and staying within the national standards. And granted, he didn't join the military for the money. but it would be nice to see something than more than the 1.6% pay raise that Obama just announced.
Well, he has disrespected our men and women in the military in so many ways. It is shocking. And so that has to stop, Christine. You know, I'll never forget.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
You remember Bill Clinton had said early on, before he ever became president, that he loathed the military. He loathed, L-O-A-T-H-E-D, loathed the military. And he proved that. He nearly gutted it when he was in office. And I'll never forget Dick Cheney. When President Bush and Dick Cheney were running, Dick Cheney got on some warship, and I'll never forget his booming, resonant voice. He said, "Help is on the way." Anyway, I remember that moment because it just, my heart just started, I was like, yes. And you remember that, you do remember better than I, that the military then really got what it needed to do a job that later became, you know, 9/11, the response to that. And it changed everything. And now in this last 8 years, another decimation. And in many ways, the social engineering has been even more decimating, don't you think, Christine?
Yes. They don't know what they're doing to our service members. And my husband now not only has to worry about possible reporting from a female, but now from a male with the homosexuality and that agenda going through the military as well, when really their focus needs to be defending this country and maintaining peace. And it's very political, but it's even more so now. They're just being used as pawns.
I think you're right, and we got to do something about it. We have to do something about it. Yet, nevertheless, Christine, there is such nobility in service. And I always feel, you know, even as certainly as Christians, we do what's right in what we're called to do. And if we get mistreated and battered around, then others are going to have to pay for that, because God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so there is honor in serving, even if it is under great duress. And I'm sure you're very proud of your husband. I would be for his service, especially under these circumstances. Yeah.
I'm proud of him and my children who did not ask for this lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Semper Fi. And
thank you, Sandy.
Maybe God will bless us with a change that that will relieve some of this great burden for all of us, really, but certainly for our military people. Thanks a lot, Christine.
Thank you.
All right, let me go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, and forgive me, I'm a bit hoarse, but I wanted to make a couple of comments. One is the video that you're asking people to see with all of the treachery and people doing weird sexual things towards animals. I believe even recently that Canada has made it some sort of law where certain sex acts with animals is supposed to be legal, which is sick and disgusting, not godly. And it just proves to me that, once again, the Holy Bible is true, and that the Roman Empire, being Europe, the United States of Europe, is where that Antichrist is going to come from. And I, frankly, wonder what's in the minds of all of these people running into this country, because with the amount of criminals that Trump and others have spoken about who are coming in here with these people, do they think they'll escape? Do they think that by running into America, they're going to be able to have some sort of different life other than what they have in their own? I think the Mexicans might need to run back out of here. And one other thing, the Nibiru that these people are talking about and they're worshiping, it's like Satan is talking about some planet hidden in snow, but perhaps that's something that they're hoping for. Maybe it'll be from somewhere like that, that this demon spirit comes upon one of the folks in Europe, and you got that Antichrist. So I thank you. I wish everybody well. I pray for our America, and I pray for your show, and God bless you.
Thank you, Shirley. Go get some rest and get rid of that bad voice. But it's always nice to hear from you. Thank you so much. Let's go to Evan in Mississippi. Hey, Evan. Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing, Sandy?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, too much to say on the radio, but I was just thinking between the Trump and the Clinton paradigm. You know, you've just got two extremes that nobody really wants to support on either side for a lot of Christians. And, you know, I was thinking, Trump is definitely not everybody's first pick, but he's definitely much better than the evil that Hillary Clinton would, bring into this country or, bring upon us. And my mind was just kind of wandering, Sandy, and I was thinking, you know, just everything seems so rigged that even if Clinton wins, I've come to accept the fact that maybe, and I use this term very carefully, that she may be a necessary evil for a temporary time for Christ to be magnified in our suffering, because, you know, eventually the church is going to face persecution here in the United States just like it is around the world. And, you know, I was thinking about what Paul said about how, you know, we glorify in our tribulations because tribulations produces endurance and endurance produces hope. And I just pray that Christ is magnified no matter what we do. And if suffering comes our way, that we just humbly accept it and say, you know what, God, your will be done.
Evan, let me jump in because we have just a couple of minutes left. Listen, I'm with you on being able to finish well and face whatever comes. The one thing that I'm not sure you were saying this, but I just want to say, because people do say this, we are not to be about the business of helping bring on the persecution. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people are saying that. I've heard that, you know. Let the worst happen. Who cares? Because what the Bible says, things are going to get worse anyway, and this will just quicken, you know, the coming of Christ. Well, that's the height. I know you're not saying that, but that is really the height of hubris. I remember Jesus himself saying that no man knew the hour. He himself didn't even know. And I don't think he would have said, I'm going to, you know, go to Jerusalem and die early, you know, so that we can get this over. It's all in God's timing. And I think we have to do what we need to do, what we know is right with the circumstances that we know right now. There is no way that we have any business trying to manipulate or operate or bring on some kind of end of time. I just think people have, honestly, I think people have lived such a luxurious life. They have no idea what they're bringing on themselves and their children. I think they have no idea. I talk to people, especially younger people, and people that are maybe not as clued in to what's going on in the world, and there is this naivete, and we'll wait till the next election and sort of sort things out, or we'll form a new party, or we'll do whatever. And I'm telling you, humanly speaking, that's not going to happen. This is, I think, the turning point. And so of course, God can change all of that, but I'm operating with what I know today physically. And so I'm not willing to lay back and, you know, knowing that tribulation is coming, so let's just maybe help it along here. I'm not going to do that. And I would encourage anybody with a serious mind, if you think about, just project what your children may suffer if this sets in. And if you think you're okay with that and bringing it on, let God bring it on, and then let us endure it with his help. But let's don't participate in bringing that on. Evan, thanks. I know that's more than you asked for, but I had to get that in there because I have heard that a lot lately. Let's go to James in North Carolina. Quickly, James, what's on your mind?
Yes. Well, everything you see and hear going on, all of what's coming out of Hillary's mouth, this is pointing to the coming of the Antichrist. Jesus made two profound statements. It shall be as it was in the days of Lot, and it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. And we are there. Homosexuality is running rampant. People are just running around doing all kind of violence, and it's growing. Hey, you can't not deny that that's where we are.
Yeah, lovers of men rather than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. You know, you have it your way. You're right, James. We are living the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There's no doubt about that. So lift your eyes and look to your help, which is coming. That's when Jesus comes. So here we go, but we're not quite there yet. Maybe today, I'm not sure. But meanwhile, let's be faithful. James, sorry to cut you off. I've got to go tomorrow. Ray Comfort, The Atheist Delusion.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.